Christ is risen.
Truly.
Christos Anesti. Amasia Khan. Christ is risen. Truly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a remarkable passage from the Gospel today. And if we think back, we see that, of course, on the Sunday of Pascha itself, followed by the Sunday of Thomas, followed by the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women, were all resurrectional in nature. They all talked about the resurrection or were connected to the resurrection. But yet these last Sundays have turned a little bit. They're now all connected with water, with baptism. Of course, the paralytic that was by the pool who could not make his way in. And then last week, of course, we had Saint Fontenay, the woman at the well of Samaria, drawing the living water that Christ wanted to give her. And even today, this Sunday of the blind man, this man is told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. All of these are references to baptism, as the Holy Fathers talk about. And yet today's is a extraordinary passage, and that this one, probably as much or even more than most of the other passages in the Gospel, refer to the idea that the Pharisees were completely thrown off their game. I mean, they were scattered. They were messed up. They just didn't know what to make of any of this. Because we have a man that was born blind. And not only was he born blind, he was born without eyes. That's actually said at least five times in the services of the church, once in the Vespers service and four times in the canon that we hear today, where the man himself is speaking and says, "I am without eyes." So this man had sockets, but nothing in them. He had been there for many, many years. He had known darkness in his mother's womb and was born into darkness here on earth. That's all that he had, nothing else. And that the Lord comes to him and says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world," and decides to make a very clear point with all those that are around and that are witnessing this. Because he takes clay and spits on it and mixes it up and takes it and pushes it into the eye sockets of the man and tells him to go and wash, and he does, and lo and behold, sight is restored because his eyes are restored. Now, this is a very clear indication to those that were around, to the Pharisees, because they knew what this spittle meant. Remember how the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Remember how he created man. He took dust, clay from the earth, breathed upon it, gave it life. And that's how man came to life at that time. And this time, what the Lord did not finish creating in the womb, Christ creates now in the exact same manner. He takes the clay, he takes the spittle from his divine human person, mixes it up, fashions eyes, and gives it to the man, showing that he who was walking among them was the same one that created the heavens and the earth. No wonder those who watched this were so distressed by what had happened. And apart from that, the fact that it occurred on a Saturday as well, on the Sabbath, the disturbance was that much greater. And so these Pharisees go to this man after he could see, and who did this to you? Who is the one that restored your sight? Well, it was the man Jesus. Where is he? I don't know. And so they say, well, we know that this man is a sinner. You know, how could he do such things? And they run over to the man's parents and ask them, say, well, what happened? Well, you know, we don't know anything about this. All we can guarantee you is that, yes, this is our son. It's really him. It's not someone who looks like him, as some of the Pharisees were saying. Go, you ask him yourself. He's of age. He knows. And, of course, the Pharisees then go back to him twice and say, what's going on? How did this happen? I don't know how it happened. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see. Well, the question behind why this happened in the beginning was actually asked by the apostles, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born in such a condition?" Now you have to understand, this had a double meaning back then, because the Epicureans, whose philosophy was everywhere at that time, they believed that the souls of people actually existed and lived before birth. And so the things that they did in that previous life could come back and haunt them in this life. And also then there was the Judaic idea that somehow the sins of the parents would be visited upon the children up into the fourth generation. But of course, St. Cyril of Alexandria, St. John Chrysostom, all dispel us of any notion of that. They said, of course, this man did not sin. He was born into the world blind. How could he have sinned? And no, the Lord says it wasn't because of anything that his parents did, but that showed, so the mercies and grace of God could be shown. Now, that's an extraordinary statement, too. When we think about, well, so this man had to suffer all those years so that the mercy of God might be shown, so that the divinity of Christ might be made manifest. And again, St. Cyril will tell us, his being blind from birth was but a small thing compared to the fact of what happened to him, to the fact that he would become a disciple of Christ, so that Christ could testify among all of these Pharisees and all the people that surrounded this particular miracle, that he could testify to the fact that he is the Son of God. So this man was born blind for a purpose. As the paralytic was ill for 38 years, not being able to move, for a purpose. As St. Fontenie last week, who had gone through all that she had gone through, five previous husbands, and then a man that she was living with that was not her husband, was for a purpose, so that God could come to all of them to make himself manifest unto them. Well, of course, this man who was born blind proved himself to be a great and most wonderful theologian, far greater than the Pharisees that were around, because he was arguing with them. They said to him, "We don't know where this guy comes from." And he, who had just had restored sight, tells them, "What a strange thing that is. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know anything about him, and yet he was able to restore my sight," almost turning the tables on them, saying, what's wrong with you? You're the leaders of Israel here. You're the ones who are supposed to be, and always proclaimed to be, righteous, and yet you don't know anything about them. And then finally he asked them, and this is the question that really set them off, "What, do you too want to become his disciples?" Showing that he, the blind man that was blind, also was going to become a disciple of Jesus. And so he goes off, and the Lord seeks him out later, because the Pharisees then at that point threw him out of the temple. They anathematized him, if you will. He's gone. He's got nothing to do with the temple. They're not going to allow him in again. And the Lord seeks him out and says, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the man says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And he says, "It is I who is speaking to you." And whereas the man makes his confession of, "My Lord, you are the one, you are the true Christ," in his action, and makes obeisance to him. What a wonderful, wonderful story this is. Because of all the things that the Lord did, to this point, this is one of the most amazing. Because these Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus was. They were protesting, "Oh, we don't know who he is." They were more concerned about the fact that it was a Sabbath, that the man was healing on the Sabbath. That's always the big deal, not the results of the miracle, the fact that someone who had been restored to sight, but the fact that they were doing something that the religiosity of the day and their own complete misunderstanding of what the Sabbath meant was coming back to haunt them. Because the Lord was showing at that point, this is what the true Sabbath is all about. This is the recreation of mankind. As I gave eyes to this man who cannot see, I can give life to all of you. This is what he is proclaiming, and this is why everyone was so bent out of whack about what the Lord had done on this day. And this is a good way, I think, for us to close the Paschal season. And yes, on Wednesday at sunset, the Paschal season is closed. There are no more Christ is risens for another year. But as we leave this and go into the season of Pentecost, we hear even in the patristic commentaries for this day that the blind man being told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, that was his baptism, and that his talking to the Lord and confessing him was his chrismation in effect, that he is now ready to receive that Holy Spirit, which is just a week and 2 weeks away at Pentecost. So all of this that the church shows us, from resurrection to baptism to the reception of the Holy Spirit, is not by accident. Our fathers in Christ have set this up so that we too can experience this in the same way that the apostles did then. We rejoiced with St. Fontenelle last week. We thought it was absolutely wonderful that she was confessing and talking with the Lord so boldly and would become a great witness to Christ. And now we rejoice with the man who was born blind, because as he was restored to physical sight, he was also restored, even more importantly, to spiritual sight. And so the church says to us today, all us who are blind so many times, who have turned away from Christ so many times, now is the time to receive that spiritual sight and go forth boldly in the Lord. This is what is required of us. This is what the Lord wants us to do. This is our purpose in life, to receive that Holy Spirit and to become Christ-like through all the faculties that the Lord gives us in our lives as we progress further and further in grace upon grace upon grace. Amen. Christ is risen.